Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Shot in the Dark. I am your host, John Cena Evil here. Let's get right down to it, starting with AEW Rampage. I have a more detailed report on PulseWrestling.com since I did cover it, since it did air live after Dynamite, but I will run down the key points. Jay White and the Guns, I guess going by just the Bang Bang Gang here, no longer the Bullet Club Gold, are in a pool in backyard here and cut a promo about saving Darby Allin's life by injuring him and preventing him to climb Mount Everest. They talk crap about the Acclaimed as we even see a Juice Robinson cameo in the background, kind of just walking undetected there. But then we cut back to the arena where the Acclaimed come out. They're pissed off and they say Billy Gunn isn't even cleared to travel back after being attacked by the Bang Bang Gang, and said that they were never needed and will never need them as the battle of the Bang Bang Scissor Gang comes closer. It looks like we'll be getting this trios match soon enough. We go to the action here, AEW World Tag Team Championship Tournament wildcard match, as Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta, the best friends, defeated Kyle Fletcher and Powerhouse Hobbs of the Don Callis family when Cassidy hit a DDT off the top rope, followed by an orange punch on Fletcher for the pin as Beretta took out Hobbs on the outside with a spear. Katsuyori Shibata defeated Kevin Matthews easily in over a minute with the PK. Konosuke Takeshita defeated Rocky Romero with the Falcon Arrow in a really good matchup. And in the main event, a street fight, Julia Hart and Sky Blue defeated Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale. Crazy match that needs to be checked out for sure. We get this crazy code blue from Sky to Willow on top of the commentary table, not even breaking it. There was bags of tacks brought into the ring, but the finish came when Julia Hart put on the Heartless on Statlander, who tapped out, causing a submission victory. We go to TNA Impact. The show starts with Mustafa Ali joining commentary as we go to a six-way to determine the number one contender for the X Division Championship as Jake Something defeated Leon Slater, who's making his official debut since signing with NWA, as well as Chris Bay, Allen Angels, Jason Hotch, and Kevin Knight. Ali wasn't too happy about Something being in this match, saying that there has to be a limit to be in the X Division, which of course there is no limits. Slater looked very impressive in his debut, hitting this wild dive off the corner to everyone on the outside, but the ending came with Something catching Hotch into the void for the pin as Ali was not happy as his rebellion opponent is determined. We get a Dirty Dangle segment where he talked about the proudest match he has ever been in allowed him to buy a Range Rover with his pay. He asked about where he can even find his match ratings. I can definitely help you with a website for that, Dango. And then he says Josh Alexander only beat him because Dangle's shoes were untied, and Dangle says that Alpha Bravo and Oleg Prudius were holding him down, and they kept telling Prudius to sit down, which he wouldn't do, and Dangle said he doesn't listen to him, so Prudius just walked out on him. Gio Miller's in the back wanting an explanation from the new team of AJ Francis and Rich Swann, who are now going by first class here, but I said they'll have to wait until next week, like everyone else, to get an explanation. Diener heads to the ring and says that he hasn't been himself lately and he's dealt with a lot of failure, but he only has himself to blame, and gave a passionate promo about needing the fans' help to get his passion back in professional wrestling, and now every decision he makes is in the fans' hands and the people's choice. The Grizzly Young Vets cut him off and said that nobody cares about Diener and tells him to leave the ring, so Diener says they don't get to decide if he leaves, but the fans do, and the fans decided he should stay and started to fight off Grizzly Young Vets here. They beat him up until the Time Splitters run off for the save as we go into our next match, with the Time Splitters defeating the Grizzly Young Vets. Tom Hannifin mentioned on commentary how these two have faced off before in WWE, which was in the Dusty Rhodes Classic in NXT back in 2020, and the finish came with Kushida putting the hoverboard lock on James Drake with a super kick from Alex Shelley as Drake taps out right after this. Hannifin has a sit-down interview with Hammerstone, who talked about him signing with TNA, has been a long time coming, and talked about a match he had on Explosion back in 2018, and said maybe he wasn't ready back then, so he went all over the world to make himself better. He talks about being ready now and having confidence over Josh Alexander, as Hannifin brought up how he had to cheat in order to beat Alexander at Sacrifice. And Hammerstone says that it's by any means necessary. It says if you walked away with a trophy, and that trophy is Alexander's headgear, and it'll be a reminder to him, to everybody, on what he did to him. We have a Digital Media Championship match here as Crazy Steve defeated PCO. PCO was going for the PCO assault until Khan comes out, starts tossing weapons in the ring, distracting PCO, who just starts going after Khan with the weapons instead. But Khan drops him back first into a stack of chairs, tosses PCO back in the ring, who gets rolled up by Steve for the win. Decay is in the back talking about cashing in their automatic rematch against the tag champions here, but MKUltra bumps in and says that they are first in line, so Rosemary suggested a match against Masha Slamovich, which we'll get onto later on in the show. Eric Young comes out and says that he came up short with Moose, but he has his eyes on Frankie Kazarian now, who made a big mistake of costing him the match and challenges Kazarian to a Full Metal Mayhem match at Rebellion on April 21st. Ashba Elegance, in her third match, defeated Salizea Sparks in a couple of minutes here after hitting the rarefied air for the pin. Ash kept attacking Sparks after the match with a chair and was about to hit her finisher again until Zaya Brookside runs out to stop her. Nick Nemeth comes to the ring and says that he earned his world title shot against Moose by beating Steve Maclin, and kept saying how he was going to beat Moose until the system interrupts him, and Moose says that the only thing ever everybody knows about Nemeth is that he can never beat the system. And in the main event here for the TNA Knockouts World Championship, Jordynne Grace retains, defeated Tasha Steelz in a really good and competitive matchup main event here, with Grace hitting the Juggernaut driver for the pin. And next week, we'll find out her next contender through an 8-4-1 match. We go to TNA Explosion around the ring. Gia Miller was with Bhupinder Gujjar, who talked about him receiving the Alumni Distinction Award from graduating here from the St. Clair College in Windsor, Ontario. And the match here was Rosemary defeating Masha Slamovich, which was set up on Impact. Killer Kelly tried to help out, but she gets knocked off the apron by Masha by accident instead, followed by a spear from Rosemary for the win, as it looks like MKUltra is slowly ending with the recent rumors of Killer Kelly possibly leaving TNA, as it seems like this is, they're definitely going down that route of breaking up this team. We go to ROH on Honor Club. We have our first semifinal match in the Women's World Television Title Tournament, as Billie Stark defeated Mercedes Martinez, and a really good opener from these two, despite the constant interference from Diamante on the outside and multiple roll-up attempts. Starks was able to keep one on for the win, and will go on to the finals as Supercard of Honor, and she will face the winner of the next match, which is Queen Aminata versus Red Velvet. This is probably the better match of the tournament here, probably the best match I've seen of the tournament here, that ends with Aminata catching Velvet with a headbutt to get the pin, and it will be Queen Aminata versus Billie Starks in the finals as Supercard of Honor to determine the first ever Ring of Honor Women's World Television Champion. Lexi Nair is in the back with Kiera Hogan, who says that she's looking forward for the winner to the winner of Aminata versus Starks, but says that she hasn't done it with Diamante and challenges her for a match for next week, which Diamante does accept later on. Lee Johnson defeated a local talent here in London Lightning. Johnson was able to end him with a reverse DDT, as he now has 7 wins in a row. Lexi was asking Johnny TV and Taya Valkyrie how the boys have been doing, and they've kind of acting a little nervous, saying that they haven't seen them in a while. Dalton Castle sneaks into this and asks where they are, and they finally admit that they have lost the boys. Yes, the Lost Boys. And last time they saw them, they were with bears, and Castle gets scared that the bear might have ate them. Lexi then reminds Dalton that he still has the backup boys, which Dalton doesn't really care for, and she also tells him to stop interrupting her interviews. Hikaru Shida, making her Ring of Honor debut, defeated Rachel Ellering. Athena comes out and sits down ringside to watch this match, since Shida is her opponent for Supercard of Honor, and Shida ends Ellering with a katana to get the pin in this. Matt Sydal defeated TJ Crawford, who's been on MLW lately, making his Ring of Honor debut. Nice showing here, and rare singles win here from Sydal, hitting the top rope Meteora for the pin. We go to Eddie Kingston, who's in the back, and says that he got a call from Homicide asking why he's been acting like a bitch lately, and he misses the vicious old Kingston, the one who would have beat Okada, and the one that could beat Mark Briscoe. So Kingston says he can't lose again, so he will bring that old Eddie for his match against Briscoe. Athena, Billie Starks, and Lexi Nair in the back, as Athena says Shida won't take the title from her, as they bring up how Shida beat her once in 2014 at Shimmer, but it won't happen again. In the main event here, Mina Shirakawa of Stardom making a Ring of Honor debut, defeated Anna Jay, also making a Ring of Honor debut. Mina's definitely one of the standouts from Stardom, full of personality and energy, and definitely one of my favorites to watch in that promotion. Fun back and forth at the end until Mina was able to trap on the backslide pin to get the win. We go to Women of Wrestling Superheroes. Princess Aussie defeated Katarina Jinx after hitting a frog splash. Miami Sweet Heat defeated Fury and Rebel Hayes, who are now using the Heavy Metal Sisters tag team name. They get the pin on Fury after hitting the Fab Jab. Tiki Chamorro defeated Tormenta after dodging her in a corner and hooking on a surprise roll-up for the pin. And in the main event, Penelope Pink defeated G.I. Jane with Vicky Lynn McCoy on commentary. We go to NWA Power. We have a couple of qualifier matches to determine who will be in the National Heavyweight 4-way match at Hard Times to see who the new champion is. And the first one is Burchill defeating Magic Jake Dumas after hitting a double underhook DDT called Grit Your Teeth for the pin to advance. We have an unsanctioned match here between Mecha Wolf and Alex Misery after a couple weeks of Vampiro kind of getting involved with both of them. A crazy spot here with Misery jumping off the new NWA stage at one point. And a pretty fun match here that ends with Wolf hitting a running knee strike to get the pin on Misery. Jack Stain and Tim Storm defeated Magnum Muscle. Dane made Mim submit to the Trap City here, as the story of the match being Magnum Muscle not being on the same page, not teaming up in a while, with Dak Draper not even attempting to help Mims at the end. And the main event here, the second qualifying match, Zion defeated AJ Kazana after hitting a top rope crossbody to advance to the four-way at Hard Times. We go to NXT Level Up. This show is full of debuts here, as Tamian Heist defeated the debuting Saquon Sugars, the recently signed independent wrestler known as Lucky Eiley. Good showing for Sugars here, but Heist catches him in a belly-to-belly while running the ropes for the pin and the win here. Pretty impressive. Jada Parker defeated the debuting Lainey Reed, who has a bit of a Southern girl gimmick here. Reed is NIL signee with track and field experience here, but Parker gets the win with a version of a Rough Rider. And Eddie Thorpe defeated Uriah Connors, the former young Finley here, Brogan Finley, who's making his level-up debut. Connors was interviewed before the match talking about how Thorpe used to be his big brother to him, alluding to their time together in New Japan Strong. And shout out to Byron Saxton, even comparing level pull up to Lego here, saying that this is the foundation to build. Thorpe's first match in 3 months since beating Dijak in the NXT Underground match back in December, and a pretty good matchup here that ends with Thorpe hitting his Impaler DDT on Connors to get the win. On WWE main event, Zoe Stark defeated Natalya after reversing a sharpshooter into a roll-up. They did embrace after the match here. And Giovanni Vinci, a bloody nose and all in this match, defeated Apollo Crews after hitting a brainbuster. That is it for me this week. You guys can catch me here next week for another episode of Shot in the Dark.